Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Breaking down the AFC home games here on Fantasy Football Today, the first of our two weekly start or sit shows. Yo, what's up, Heath, Jamie, Dave? How we doing today?
We're doing great. Wonderful.
Cool.
How are you, Heath? Adam's laughing at your misery.
Oh, he really enjoys it.
It's not such a big deal. It's just a little...
What a girly laugh.
No, it was just like a 90-minute commute in this morning.
That's
it. Everything's good now.
So the podcast is going to be out a little bit later today than usual.
It's my fault.
Yeah, we're blaming Heath.
You don't have to blame me. It's my fault. Today, I was the late one.
Yeah, it sure was. All right, that's okay, Heath. It's very... very atypical of Heath Cummings. So we got your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I want to tell everybody that no team goes into the season without a game plan, and Buffalo Wild Wings knows that football fans need a game plan that's built for game day glory. A game plan that should include 21 signature sauces and seasonings, a great lineup of beer taps, and an arsenal of wall-to-wall TVs. All of those details make for a game day game plan that can't be beat. So win or lose, if you're a football fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere around. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. We do it for you because you're a football fan.
Can we quickly just clarify that the Buffalo Wild Wings buffalo seasoning, the dry buffalo on the actual wings, is the best combination there?
Is that right?
Yes.
You are a big B-dubs dubs guy, aren't you?
I like wings a lot, and yeah, I like B-dubs wings, yes.
Yeah.
And their buffalo dry rub is by far the best.
All right, that's good to know.
If you weren't working, would you go to Buffalo Wild Wings for your Sunday football fix?
Absolutely, yes. And I would get the dry wings, not the nuggets.
Okay. I think you probably need to go there today based on the morning that you've had. You need to kind of get your frustration out with some wings.
They have lots of beer.
Yes, that would also help it make for an awkward afternoon at the office.
That would be pretty awesome. I wish I could be there for that. Now, let's start with a rankings question. And we'll skip around. We'll come back to this a little bit later. But AJ Green, hot topic this week, facing Denver. They just did a great job against T.Y. Hilton and co. AJ Green, Travis Benjamin, Mike Wallace. AJ Green against Denver, Travis Benjamin at Indianapolis, Mike Wallace at Jacksonville. How would you rank them? Let's start with Jamie. How would you rank those three?
Green, Benjamin, Wallace.
I think that's a consensus.
Oh, really?
I'll say Wallace, Benjamin, Green, but in reverse order. Yeah, I agree with Jamie.
Okay, so people shouldn't go too crazy.
Are those all money references? Awesome.
Oh,
those three guys.
Whoa, wait, Wallace?
That's what I was asking. Green and Benjamin for sure.
Well,
I was trying to think of
maybe
Wallace.
If you say it like wallets,
yeah,
then it is.
Yeah.
Green, Benjamin, Wallace. That's his new name now, Mike.
Yeah, I'm
Wallace.
Probably not benching AJ Green.
Okay.
No, but there are some scenarios. I mean, look, we've seen it. We saw it last week. The team made a definitive effort to take him away. Now, granted, it was in a rainstorm.
Right.
But he got eliminated, essentially. And the Broncos just did a great job against the Colts receivers.
You've been eliminated.
If I only needed two wide receivers and I had Fitzgerald or Kelvin Benjamin as my third wide receiver, then I would bench AJ Green.
I like Decker better than him. I like Snead better than him. I like Stephon Diggs better than him.
Okay.
I think that's too aggressive.
Yeah.
It's close with Diggs. I'll give you that one.
Okay. I mean, look, there's a history here of Denver doing really, really well against number one wide receivers. We were nervous about Kelvin Benjamin. He had a very good game, but,
I think that's been a little underplayed. This is the Broncos' first road game.
It is, yeah.
It's Simeon's first road game more so than the Broncos' first road game. It's his first road start. And they faced each other last year, too. And A.J. Green did not have a good game.
Yeah, he scored
Andy
a touchdown.
It was A.J. McCarron, though.
Well, no, but Green had 11 fantasy points, 5 for 56 and a touchdown, 5 for 57, which is pretty much as good as you're going to see unless you're Antonio Brown, just looking at what wide receivers did against Denver last year. So I don't know. I mean, is 11 fantasy points the ceiling in standard scoring leagues for AJ Green?
No. I think that should be the expectation.
Based
though.
On last year, I mean, that's kind of...
Because that's what he did last year. That's what his ceiling
is. No, that's what most wide receivers, if they scored double-digit fantasy points. We're around
there. He's not going to have a great game. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. He's not going to have a great game. So it's just a matter of what's your trust and what's your comfort level, and who do you feel more comfortable or less comfortable with starting AJ Green over?
And we're applauding Kelvin Benjamin for what he did in week one. He had 75 yards and a touchdown, 13 fantasy points in a non-PPR.
I'd say his range is 5 to 15.
No, I think Benjamin had 91 and a touchdown, didn't he?
I thought he had 75 and a touchdown.
Well, one of us is wrong, Dave Richard. Who's going to look it up?
It's 2 points.
Yeah. It's kind of a big... All right, well, the stat was...
I thought he had 75. Maybe I'm just nuts.
Denver played
96 for 91 and a touchdown.
Yeah. Okay, there you
what
go.
What is it?
6 for 91 and a touchdown on 12 targets.
In week one?
In week one at Denver.
This year.
This year.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Played at Florida State.
Carolina
Panthers. ACL last year.
Now, when you say 91, do you mean 75?
All right. Nice. Here's your tweet of the day. Tweet of the day is a team name from Jason Carpenter. Stephon Diggs, Laura Winslow. You guys probably don't get that, do you?
I think you should say it slower.
Yeah. Stephon Diggs, Laura Winslow.
I think you should spell it.
Stephon Diggs, Laura Winslow.
Now, when Steve Urkel had his cool alter ego, he would go into a machine and become this alter ego. It was Stephon.
Yep.
And
yes.
Stephon and Laura Winslow were very compatible.
Okay.
So this is actually a very, very clever TGIF team name.
My wife comes running into the room Monday night and she goes, Calvin Johnson's on Dancing with the Stars and he's dressed as Steve Urkel. You got to see it. So Tuesday morning, I tell her, go ahead and put it on. And sure enough, he's dancing, dressed like Steve Urkel, suspenders and all, glittery suspenders. And then the actor who played Steve Urkel surprised Calvin Johnson later when he was interviewing him. This is what my wife watches when I'm watching football.
Come on, don't worry. You were sleeping.
I wasn't sleeping. I thought you were going to say, come on, you were watching Dancing with the Stars. And then I would have said, okay, fine, I was. But I really wasn't.
By the way, his name is Jaleel White. And I have become way too familiar with all of the housewives of all of the different counties and cities across the country because of what my fiance watches when I watch football. Okay, guys, let's do the news and notes. There are a lot of them. It's been a rough week. Adrian Peterson having knee surgery for a torn meniscus and a torn LCL, and he could miss the rest of the year. It's not definitive yet. Also, Minnesota put their left tackle, Matt Khalil, on IR, and they signed Ronnie Hillman. Now, Jamie, yesterday, just to state the obvious, yesterday when we did the show, we didn't know the extent of the injury, and we said Dwayne Washington had a better situation than Peterson, or than McKinnon, excuse me. That's changed now, right? Let's start with that, and also just your overall take on Vikings running backs right now.
Yeah, I mean, we said it yesterday that not knowing Peterson's injury, Washington had a little bit better scenario. Clearly now McKinnon has the better scenario and you would spend what you need to spend on him. I got him last night, and unfortunately the league where I drafted him, this has kind of been a theme for me this year. I drafted McKinnon, I dropped McKinnon for something else in week one, and then I spent $41 out of $100 to get him back. So I think it just depends on what your needs are and how much you think he's going to be valuable to you. I think he's going to have some very great moments, a lot of great moments this year. I think he's better in PPR than standard. And as we saw in 2014, he was playing well, then he had a back injury, and Matt Asiata was the touchdown guy, but it was fluky. He had two games with three touchdowns each. So I think if you want to take a flyer on Asiata, do so, but McKinnon should be 100% owned by the time we get to Sunday.
My only thing is I really don't want to start McKinnon this week because I'd like to see how this breaks out. And then, I mean, we've got access to these Pro Football Focus numbers now, and they rank as the 29th best run-blocking team in football through the first 2 weeks of the season. Last year, one of their best run-blocking offensive linemen was Matt Khalil. He's now gone for the year. So I have concerns about whether McKinnon's going to improve that much on the 1.6 yards per carry that Adrian Peterson was getting through 30 carries.
But his skill set, though, I think is better suited for a bad offensive line than Peterson's is.
In some ways, yes. If they can get him in space,
he
should have success.
Yeah. Right.
They've had trouble getting anyone besides Stephon Diggs in space so far this year.
Now, Dave, Matt Asiata or Dwayne Washington, who would you rather own?
I'd rather own Washington because I think he's got a little bit more upside than Asiata. The only way Asiata is going to be genuinely helpful for your fantasy team is if McKinnon and now Ronnie Hillman both miss playing time. And Asiata's got the one match.
The Chicago Roach. Is Ronnie Hillman worth adding, guys?
In the deepest of leagues, sure.
I think I'd rather have him than Asiata.
Oh, I'd rather have Asiata, too.
But well, only thing I think I think I'd rather have Hillman.
Like, than Asiata?
With them adding Hillman, I don't see a situation where Asiata's getting 15 to 20 carries.
No, but I think you know what you're getting with Asiata, which is just the goal line role.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think, and you know what? He can catch passes. He's just not explosive.
It's really weird when you look at those 2014 stats that he and McKinnon, when they both played together, caught the same number of passes.
Yeah.
And Asiata averaged like 3 or 4 more yards per catch than McKinnon did.
Because I think everybody was just surprised that this big lug is running out of the backfield catching passes.
He's proven to be good in pass protection. And I think the one thing is that year it was McKinnon was a rookie. So, right. You know, how much do they want to really trust him?
Would you rather have Jared McKinnon or Rashad Jennings rest of the season?
That's a good question.
McKinnon. It's so easy to me, McKinnon.
McKinnon,
I
just
want to
because,
see what I can get from him.
Because of Jennings' injury situation, that's now, again, creeping up. There's a reason this guy hasn't had 1,000. Right. There's a reason this guy hasn't got 1,000 yards in his career and has had, you know, 2 or 3 chances to be a starter.
All right, how about Jeremy Hill or Jerick McKinnon rest of season?
Hill.
Yeah, I'll still say
Hill. Hill's schedule gets really good after this week.
All right, Dante Moncrief out 4 to 6 weeks with a fractured scapula. So, first of all, sorry to go back to this. Can you drop Adrian Peterson? Can you drop Dante Moncrief right now?
I'm not dropping Adrian Peterson until I see the team put him on IR.
No, I'm dropping him when I need the roster spot.
Right.
When I've got – Adrian can sit on my bench, but if I need that roster spot, you know, if I get another injury
– It's probably going to be by NATO before you actually have to have that roster spot.
Right. Well, I mean, with the way everybody's...
Would you rather have Adrian Peterson on your team or Dwayne Washington right now?
There's no guarantee Adrian Peterson's coming back.
Right. That's true. I would 100% drop Adrian Peterson across the board.
I'm just not doing it to do
it. You're dropping him right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right, what about Moncrief?
Moncrief, no.
Because he's going to come back, and you have to assume he'll be fine. It's just a fracture.
But again, it's circumstantial. You know, if you need the roster spot, you cut him.
And Dorsett, guys. How much do you like Dorsett right now?
I like him as a number 3 receiver.
Yeah, with plenty of upside.
If Adrian Peterson and Dante Moncrief are both on your waiver wire, who are you picking up first?
Moncrief. Absolutely.
Dante.
Right? How about...
Each side is dating.
I mean, I'm not picking up either one of them this week.
But what are your expectations when he does come back in terms of Peterson? That he's just all of a sudden be the same guy?
No, if he's the same guy, it's 30 yards a game.
No, prior to this year.
We were projecting Dante Moncrief to have this monster breakout. But yeah. What are our expectations for Dante Moncrief when he comes back? If Dorsett's been the guy for 4 to 6 weeks, he's just all of a sudden the guy he's never been? The guy he was for 3 or 4 games with Luck last year?
That's what I think you're banking on.
Yeah.
The catches, the yards.
I'd rather take my chance on the guy that's going to play.
Right.
By November.
Peterson seems like such a long way off if he comes back at all.
Like, that's just killing your roster right there, holding on to him.
Like I said, if tomorrow the Vikings put him on IR.
But even if they don't.
Like, why would they not if they don't think he's coming back for 8 to 10 weeks?
But did they use their designated for return?
It's not about using it. You can just put any player you want on IR.
Oh, they just designate the guy to come back. Right.
So I don't know. I mean, we've got reports, and they're from people that we trust.
Well, he hasn't had the surgery yet.
So if they haven't put him on IR, I'm not dropping him yet, because what if?
Okay. You know why? They're waiting to see if they need their roster spot.
Right.
And then they'll put
it. And they'll probably need it by Sunday.
I would imagine so. So AP should end up on IR. Whether or not he comes back off of it remains to be seen.
But it's like not the most surprising thing in the world if he come tomorrow, they say we completed the surgery and he might be back in 4 to 6 weeks.
Look, it's a fair point.
That would be surprising.
He's going to play it safe. But Dorsett's only 65% owned. And, you know, I feel like you kind of have to treat Dorsett like you treated Dante Moncrief, maybe to a slighter degree. But remember, this is a first-round pick. They were very high on him. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's a must-own Dorsett.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He is.
All right.
Yeah, and I think there's a chance that by the time Moncrief gets back, Dorsett's the number 2.
He very well could be. But also the number 3 guy was their leading yard receiver in week 1.
What is the latest on Rob Gronkowski?
Sounds like he's going to play. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe said Gronk has been telling his teammates all week he's going to play tonight.
And you guys have him as a top 3 tight end, so it's hard to sit Rob Gronkowski. Jimmy Garoppolo is doubtful. We don't expect him to play. Corey Coleman broke his hand. We don't know the severity, but safe to assume.
He's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, the Browns announced that.
It's about as good of an expectation as you can get from a broken hand.
But you cut him in all season long.
Yeah, oh, what a shame. Yep. Josh Gordon time. Thomas Rawls did not practice, but he could play. This is a great matchup against San Francisco. We'll be able to preview it tomorrow. Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett are also expected to play. But tonight, LeGarrette Blount or Kristen Michael?
Blount. Take the bird in the hand.
Blount.
Okay. All right, then. that's then you're obviously starting him over Rawls too. So some tight ends missed practice or were limited. Antonio Gates, hamstring. Eric Ebron, back injury. Delaney Walker, hamstring. And Kyle Rudolph, groin. Gates, Ebron, Walker, Rudolph. Any of these four realistically sitting this week, not playing?
Delaney said there's no chance he misses the game, so I would anticipate him being out there.
I believe I read the Chargers actually added a third tight end.
Yes.
So that one's probably, of the four of them, that one's the most concerning to me, especially since he's the oldest.
Okay, yeah. Looks like Gates does have the biggest risk of missing this week's game. Andy Reid hinted at resting Jamaal Charles this week. So we're just expecting, at the very least, if you're not, even if he plays, we're not starting Jamaal Charles this week, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. Then they've got the Jets. And Vontae Davis has a chance to play for Indianapolis. We'll get to that game in a second. And Sam Shields did not practice Wednesday as he recovers from a concussion. So could be good news for Marvin Jones. Now, obviously, not good news. We hope Sam Shields gets better, but fantasy-wise, you know, we saw what Stephon Diggs did last week. Do you expect the following players? Rashad Jennings against the Redskins.
Yes.
I expect him to be on my bench.
Larry Fitzgerald.
I think he'll be okay against Washington, by the way.
Larry Fitzgerald at Buffalo?
Yes.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson at the Giants?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Virgil Green at the Bengals?
Nope.
I think that's one you got to watch. There's a chance he could miss it.
And Arian Foster against Cleveland.
No, sounds like he's going to miss this week.
Very, very interesting. We'll get to that game later in the show. Now, tomorrow, I am very excited. I'm going to a wedding. Going to see some old friends, some old college friends. They're going to see me in my new Indochino suit, baby. My made-to-measure Indochino suit. I love it. Custom-made to fit me perfectly. I customize the collar, the lapels, the buttons, the lining. ASA invented swagger. I finally get to show it off. Everything in that suit, my way. I love this suit. Best piece of clothing that I own. And that is not hyperbole. That is not an exaggeration. What a deal we have for you on Indochino.com. 50% off just $389 with our offer code FFT. Go to Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Indochino.com. Or visit one of their 9 North American showrooms. This is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands. Wearing a great suit is something that every man should do, so get on this. Any premium suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when you enter FFT at checkout, plus free shipping and satisfaction guaranteed, or your money back. How about that? Great deal. Indochino.com, enter the code FFT. Get ready to feel like $1 million. Two you like and two you don't for the AFC home game. Start with Dave's two that he likes. Dwayne Allen against San Diego and Gio Bernard against Denver. A little risky here, Dave. Allen against San Diego and Bernard against Denver.
No fun to go with guys that you're obviously going to start. So let's just roll with Dwayne Allen against San Diego. I like the matchup not only against the linebackers for the Chargers, but also San Diego is starting an undrafted rookie at safety. It's a big rookie. His name's Dexter McCoyle. But I still can't help but feel like Dwayne Allen will get those red zone opportunities that you start him for. I think he'll come through. I think it could be a fairly high scoring game between the Colts and the Chargers. So Dwayne Allen is somebody that I would roll with. And I hope that the Bengals learned something about their running backs last week when they leaned on Giovanni Bernard against the tough Steelers defense. Now they've got another tough defensive front in the Jets. I think it's a big game for the Bengals. There could be some playoff implications already in this game. Giovanni Bernard is the one who should get going compared to Jeremy Hill. I think he could see more playing time. Really like him in PPR leagues. I think he's going to continue to get targets. And I think he's worth starting as a number two running back this week, just given the landscape of the position and how many guys we're missing.
Wow, that's tough. So would you start Gio over like Kristen Michael?
Yes. Rawls was totally out, maybe I'd think twice about that.
I'm just nervous about the Denver matchup. You just think he's going to catch a bunch of balls?
Yeah, I think he gets total yardage to help him out. Maybe he gets 100 total yards.
PPR, I'm with you. I wouldn't start him over Michael in standard.
Okay, how about Charles Sims or Gio Bernard?
Gio.
Sims.
Gio.
Heath?
Sims.
Sims. So one Gio, two Sims there. All right, Jamie's two that he likes. Yeah, I picked up this guy, Ryan Tannehill. I'm excited about Ryan Tannehill. You know, with Devontae Parker at the end of last year, the fantasy numbers weren't always there, but he had a few, I think 4 300-yard passing games, and facing Cleveland, Jamie, so sell me on Ryan Tannehill.
I'll sell you on Carson Wentz, and I'll sell you on Joe Flacco. And both those guys had over 275 passing yards and two touchdowns in the game against the Browns. So Tannehill with a inconsistent and in a lot of ways incomplete running game with Arian Foster being out, I think they're going to blast the Browns in their first home game. So Ryan Tannehill played very well in garbage time after they were down 31-3 to the Patriots, and a lot of it I think has to do with finally getting his receiving core healthy. So with Parker, with Landry, with Stills, I don't see Cleveland being able to stop Tannehill. To what extent, I'm not sure. We'll see how, you know, high the ceiling is, but I would think that he's going to be in the same range as Flacco and as Wentz and be around 275-2 and just hopefully limit the turnovers.
He had almost 400 yards passing last week, completed over 70%.
Yeah, but they're not going to be chasing passes. Points, and so at what point do they take their foot off the gas? The thing that I think that you like about Tannehill is it's ugly that he's their leading rusher. But that's what made him a good fantasy quarterback in 2014, was when he was running the ball. And so if he's getting you 20 or 30 yards rushing a game, that's a pretty nice bonus for a guy that could be, you know, again, 250 to 300 yards consistently on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, and I'm starting him over Bortles. Not an easy decision, but I just don't really know what to expect.
It's an easy decision.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
For this week.
Who else would you start Tannehill over?
Oh, boy. Russell Wilson.
Okay. That suffices. And you like Mike Wallace. Jacksonville has allowed 5 touchdowns to wide receivers through 2 games. Will it be another this week with Mike Wallace?
I mean, 3 touchdowns in 2 games so far. And I think, Adam, I'll go back to the conversation we had where I told you I felt like I was not high enough on Wallace coming into the year. And you're seeing what he could potentially be with a guy that actually can get him the ball down the field. So he went through, you know, 3 years of Ryan Tannehill and Teddy Bridgewater, and now he's back to a guy that will at least challenge defenses in a way that helps Mike Wallace. And so with a receiving core that really is not very good, he's been their best guy. And so if he's getting 6 to 8 targets a game in this matchup specifically, I think he'll come through, especially if Amuka Mara is still out.
Would you go with Mike Wallace or Spencer Ware this week?
Ware.
Ware feels safer.
Okay.
I think Ware is going to continue to slow down. I think Wallace has more upside.
I would agree with that, but I think just in terms of, like, if you needed, like, 8 points, you get it from Ware. If you need 15, it's probably better to get that from Wallace.
I do feel like Wallace is a one-player bust type of receiver, though. I just think he can get that one play this week against Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. How about
now, last week he wasn't that guy. He had 2 plays that were really good.
All right, let's go to the Heath's, too. Yeah, Marcus Mariota. You're liking him against Oakland. It's giving up 404 passing yards per game. How much do you like Mariota?
Some of that is because they faced Drew Brees, but then look what they gave up against Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Their pass defense, I think we can say, is not good. So I think I'd actually rather start Mariota than Tannehill, just because I do feel like this game will stay close and Mariota will still be throwing in the fourth quarter. I don't know if Tannehill is really still throwing in the fourth quarter.
If the game's not close, though, for the Dolphins, it's not because J.J. and Isaiah Pete ran all over them.
No, but I have a hard time seeing how the Dolphins live up to their great streaming option and Ryan Tannehill lives up to his great streaming option. Because I feel like it could be that the defense has scored 2 touchdowns or the defense has given them 2 short fields is why they've got that. Like, if the defense is getting turnovers and scoring points, then Tannehill's not doing as well, or vice versa.
Yeah, but in blowout wins, you usually see that happen, where the defense does well and the quarterback does well.
Yeah, they just don't have a running game, you know?
Right.
That's kind of why I'm...
Well, they haven't had a running game against the defenses they've faced so far. I don't know if they may have a running game against the Browns.
Really?
The
Browns have done well against the run. I mean, they haven't given up more than 4 yards per carry to a running back this year. And maybe to Forsett, but overall they haven't. And I'm not saying they have a good run defense. I don't know, but I just don't see Ajayi and Kenyon Drake and Pede running all over them. Do you?
Not running all over them. No,
Drake could break a long run.
I think their run success will come when they're up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the point is though. Mariota actually 19 points and 20 fantasy points so far. So it's kind of like he's actually been quietly fine.
Right.
So, good matchup this week. And, all right, you like Frank Gore with the dream matchup against San Diego.
At home against San Diego, if he gets 14 or 15 carries and catches 3 or 4 passes, he's going to be a starting running back this week. He's probably going to score a touchdown. The Chargers are not very good against the run. Frank Gore's not that exciting to start, but he's certainly better than Rashad Jennings.
You know what's amazing is how bad they've – or they actually haven't been, like, awful, but – how many passes they've allowed to running backs.
Yeah.
So they lead the NFL with 23 catches to opposing running backs. And three guys so far this season in two games have caught at least six passes against them. That's shocking to me.
Wow.
And Gore has been decent. Seven catches on the season so far.
Yeah.
So he's been involved. And last week, Ferguson as well. And so I think, you know, the one thing that makes me nervous about Dorsett and to an extent T.Y. Hilton, the cornerbacks in San Diego are very good. It's the best part of their defense is their cornerbacks. And so Luck has proven and proven pretty consistently to lean on his tight ends and his running backs as pass catchers.
Right.
And so if Gore can continue in this role, especially this week, he could have a really nice game.
He's had at least 16 touches in each of the two games so far this season. So volume is there. It's just not a huge volume, but it's at least over 15 touches a game.
They also haven't been in this scenario to be running late in games.
Yeah. This
could happen this week.
Gore or McKinnon?
Gore.
Gore.
Really? Gore or Sims?
Gore for me.
I've got Sims higher. I could go back and forth on that one.
I've got Gore higher.
All right. I'm just going to conclude it. Well, I don't want to have the last word, but I just want to say one thing about Frank Gore. He does not have a carry of 10 yards this year. And I not that I hate him this week or anything, but this is just, I just think he's not good.
I think you're right in that regard.
I don't think he's great. We have 24 running backs that have a carry of 10 yards through two games.
Even Eddie Lacy has a few carries over 10 yards this
year. Well, yeah, Eddie Lacy is a pretty much consensus top 15 back, though.
The only runner on the Colts that's got a carry for more than 10 yards this season is Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
None of the running backs do.
Yeah, I think to use that, Adam, is a little too soon.
I agree. I'm thinking it's going to be a sign of things to come.
And to be fair, yes, he faced a Detroit defense in week one that I don't think is great. He faced Denver in week two in Denver.
He did. Yeah. Okay. No, it is too soon. Let's put it on the watch list. I'm gonna put it on the. Okay. I'm gonna keep an eye on it list.
What's his longest run in this week?
I'll say he gets over 10.
13.
I'm gonna go 10 on the nose.
All right. Let's go to two we don't like this week. Heath, you don't like Spencer Ware that much. So Ware or Gore?
Gore.
Okay. Wow.
I dropped Ware last week, and then he had a 40-yard reception, so he ended up having a decent day. But he's not – when he's getting 10 or 11 carries in his first two games, he's relying on one long catch. The Chiefs are one of four teams this year that have yet to run an offensive play with the lead. That's bad. I'm not sure that changes against the Jets. I think the Jets are probably better than the Chiefs right now.
Yeah, but going in on the road after two straight road games.
Yeah.
Long week.
It's
a long week, but I think that this is a trap game for the Jets because they beat a real bad Buffalo team last week.
Even if Ware gets 15 carries in this game, the strength of this defense, I mean, the one weakness so far is they can't contain the deep ball. Well, here's your present. You get Alex Smith. you don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't know that Ware can have success against this front.
Okay.
I think it's going to be hard. He's going to need volume.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we were saying.
And he hasn't really got volume yet.
I would disagree. I think he's had some pretty good volume. He didn't get it last week.
He only had 11 carries in week one, didn't he?
Yeah, but he had the catches.
Seven catches? What was it?
Yeah. He had the catches in week one.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll have
11 carries, seven catches in week one, 10 carries. And two.
But what would you say? What would you say? 15 touches?
15 touches, yeah.
Yeah.
So is he a top 24 guy, Spencer Ware?
Very borderline.
And who do you like better, Ware or this next guy, Jeremy Hill, who's facing Denver?
Definitely Ware. Yeah. Like, Ware is a guy
where
I feel like he's viewed as a must start, and I was saying I don't like him because I'd like to find a different option to start him. Hill is a guy where I just don't want any part of starting him at all. He has looked. It's only been two games, and I'm not saying I just said earlier that I'd rather have him than somebody else you asked. But so I'm not going to say he's definitely bad, but he's looked a lot more like last year than his rookie year. Their offensive line doesn't look as good, and this is not the game. You don't get healthy against the Broncos. Things don't start working well against the Broncos.
And the volume has not quite been there for Hill. In week one, 9 carries, that's it. He was saved by a touchdown. Last week, 11 carries, 3 catches. He was saved by a 25-yard reception.
Saved. And he had a terrible game still.
Yeah, he was
right. That's what I'm saying, is that if he doesn't have that 25-yard reception, it's even uglier for him. It's a good week to sit him.
I mean, why not use Gio Bernard and make Jeremy Hill your change-of-pace guy?
Buy low on Jeremy Hill. He is going to blast Miami on Thursday night.
Jeremy Hill has had a brutal first two and soon to be 3 weeks with the Jets, the Steelers, and the Broncos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it gets really nice for him. I'm telling you. Go get Jeremy Hill right now. If you just lost Adrian Peterson and you can send a receiver to somebody, to pick up Jeremy Hill. That's a great trade to make right now.
But like, don't you want to do the same thing with Gio?
Huh? Don't you want to do it Monday?
Well, it depends.
Like, nothing good's going to happen Sunday.
That's why you probably want to do it now, before somebody looks ahead and goes, oh, the Dolphins.
It's not just the Dolphins either.
No, but yeah, it's
Dolphins,
very good.
Cowboys.
The savvy owner will know that Hill's schedule is about to get better. But if you make an offer for him now, somebody will say, well, I'm not starting this week anyway. You can have him.
Right.
You know,
I see what you're saying.
That's one way to look at it.
Yep.
All right, real quick. Philip Dorsett or Jeremy Hill?
Dorsett.
Even in standard.
Yeah, even in standard.
All right, guys. Jamie's two that he doesn't like. Demaryius Thomas. Man, Cincinnati, even going back to last year, they have been really good against number one receivers.
They've been great.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of under the radar, but wow.
And look, we talked about it. Trevor Siemian's first road start against the Bengals, making their first home start. So they've been on the road for two straight games. And they did a very good job, great job, obviously, in shutting down Antonio Brown. They did a great job in shutting down Brandon Marshall. I think just given the circumstances right now, those two guys are in better situations than what Thomas is, who's still dealing with the hip injury. He played very well last week, but it was really one big play on the screen pass. And so Thomas is a number three receiver.
I agree. What are you expecting at this point?
Yeah.
What has he done in the first 2 weeks of the season?
Well, he got 5 for 90 last week.
That was nice, but that might be as good as
it
gets yardage-wise.
I think that's a ceiling.
But if we're saying that's a ceiling, we're saying he can't score a touchdown.
Well, no, I think that's his yardage ceiling. I think he
could he score a touchdown?
He's got this is not the matchup to count
40% chance to score a touchdown?
Not this week. I'd say lower.
I'd say lower, too. I mean, there's a track record here with the Bengals. He struggled against them last year, too.
Does it all change if Paxton Lynch becomes the quarterback?
Maybe. But I think at least my expectations for Demaryius Thomas were to be to what he was last year, which was a 15 to 20-ish receiver.
Mm-hmm. But he's not that this week. Is he ever going to come back to that?
I think so.
So you shouldn't get to the point where you should just dump Demaryius Thomas in a trade right now. Trade Demaryius Thomas for Jeremy Hill.
No. If you need a running back.
Okay. So, I mean, that's,
I would hope you do better.
I would hope so, too.
But I don't think
you're going to get much better.
The schedule lightens up tremendously for Hill.
And you don't like Travis Kelce this week against the Jets.
I kind of feel like. And it's very frustrating, but is he just overrated?
Yes. Well, the Chiefs offense makes him overrated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his circumstances.
Volume.
But just his numbers. I'm going back and look at it.
Yes.
In a standard league, he scored 7 points or less in 11 of his last 15 games. And he's only scored touchdowns in 3 of those games.
Do you at least like that he gets 7 targets a game?
I think PPR, right, he's fine. Because you're going to get, he's gotten 5 catches in 10 of those 15 games. So you know he's going to get those 5 catches.
Right.
But I feel like 5 for 70 and every 5 to 7 games he scores you a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't think we can say, when he scored in 34 games, he scored 10 touchdowns. It's pretty much every 3 games he scores a touchdown.
Yeah, but there are multiple touchdowns in there too. So when you're factoring the 10, there's two games at least I can think of for sure we scored twice.
Okay. So maybe every 3 to 4 games he scored a touchdown.
And it also
feels every 5 to 6.
He could be better on a different team too.
Yeah,
he'd be much better.
I just feel like, and taking into account, again, I think he's a little overrated, first off, because it's almost like he's better than the streaming guys, but he's not good enough to be like
a reliable week in and week out starter.
Kind of. And this week is awful for him because the Jets have been destructive against tight ends.
Who would you start over Kelce?
Pitta and Tammy.
All right, Dave,
should we keep crapping on the Chiefs?
No, sure. Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, I don't like Maclin this week either. And I think this is a guy that Terrell Revis can cover.
Yeah.
Because Maclin isn't that deep ball burner. I know that the Jets have allowed at least 14 fantasy points to 3 wide receivers. It's been AJ Green and those speedsters in Buffalo. Just the deep ball.
Well, Salas wasn't the one on him. He didn't do it on Revis.
It's not that Revis is necessarily giving it all up and he's the weak link in the defense.
I think he can hang
with Jeremy Maclin, who isn't a burner like that.
And probably doesn't like to be beat up at the line of scrimmage,
right,
versus where Revis.
Right. So, like, Tyreek Hill could score this week.
I was thinking the same thing. Like,
he could be that guy.
That's the daily play. If you want to, you know, be completely different, Tyreek Hill, it doesn't have to be down the field. It could just be something at the line of scrimmage where he just breaks a long one. But, yeah, I think you look at it, Maclin is kind of like Demaryius Thomas to me.
Mm-hmm. And then Isaiah Crowell is another guy that I'm going to try and sit if I can. I know how it is with running backs right now. You guys don't want to dump them, or, you know, guys that have been productive, and he's certainly been productive. If you take away the three carries he had at the end of week one and the 85-yard run, touchdown run they had last week, which is not Isaiah Crowell, by the way.
That's like, taking away a lot. On that from That's him. Taking away a lot.
He's averaging, but I mean, it's circumstantial stuff, and it's four carries over what he's done this season. He's got some decent volume. He's averaging under 3 yards a carry. And I think the Dolphins defensive line plugs those gaps against the Browns, and they're, it's even getting weaker, the middle and right side of that offensive line. I think it's going to be a tough week for him.
Okay. Dave would start Tevin Coleman and Theo Riddick, among others, and Frank Gore for that matter.
I'd start almost anybody over Crowell.
Over Crowell?
Not Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, I don't think I could do Jeremy. Okay.
Let's go to a pretty interesting game here. Baltimore at Jacksonville, guys. Last year, Jacksonville won this game 22-20. Hearns and Robinson both caught touchdowns. Now you're going to start Allen Robinson. That's obvious. I don't know who else is obvious in this game, but Joe Flacco, Blake Bortles, who do you like better?
I've got Bortles, I think, one spot higher.
Me too. I think I'm going to switch it.
Yeah.
Flacco's played well.
Yeah, but you got to remember that Bortles has got those 18 fourth quarter attempts coming when they're not really trying on defense. That's a huge, like, yeah. That's
is
a huge
Chris
advantage.
Ivory playing?
It sounds like it.
Then I would take Flacco because I think they're going to try and get Chris Ivory going.
Yep.
Which running back do you like better? Which running back do you like best? Or give me your favorite two running backs in this game.
No, I don't have a favorite.
Jamal Lewis.
Smells of poop. Like, there's no good smell of poop. I'm not going to pick my favorites.
Well, all right, fine. Your least hated, your two
would,
least
at this,
hated
at this
running
point,
backs.
If I had to decide, I would just take a chance on Ivory.
I would start Forsett.
Would you consider Yeldon in a PPR?
Yes. His 8 for 10 yards.
Right. Single-handedly just trying to make PPR illegitimate. Yeah. Him and Tavon Austin.
Would you start Flacco or Bortles over Russell Wilson?
No. I would. No. I can't trust Russell Wilson right now.
Oh,
even
my gosh.
At home against San Francisco.
A home game against San Francisco is like
his offensive line stinks, and he is hurt.
And his receivers are hurt. I'd still take the chance on Wilson, but I see where Dave's coming from.
It's safer with the other guys.
Yeah.
It's safer.
Yeah, but there's a lot of home run potential for Wilson.
And
there's also a lot of bust potential.
If you picked up the Ravens last week to stream them, I did that in a couple of leagues. I'm not dropping them.
I did for the Dolphins.
There are points to be had here.
I did for the Dolphins defense and the Giants.
So you're saying that Bortles is worse than the Browns?
I'm saying that it's not necessarily about, like, I don't think they're going to score less points, but Bortles is as turnover prone as any quarterback that's played in the NFL the last 2 years.
There's pick six potential.
He turns the ball over every time he plays.
I just don't think that defense is very good.
I feel the same about the Dolphins.
I agree with both of you.
Cody Kessler, though.
But it's Cody Kessler versus Blake Bortles.
Cody Kessler is the mystery box.
Yeah, but he's got no center
and
no number
one. Box is this?
He's got no center and no number one receiver.
Like, he's probably going to try to play a very safe game and not turn the ball over, I would assume.
I actually wouldn't fault him for the center because they're just going to move Greco over.
Okay. Hey, guys.
They're just bad.
Yep.
Do you like Mike Wallace better than all the running backs in this game?
Yes.
Do you like Steve Smith better than the running backs in this game?
No.
In PPR.
Do you like Allen? Do you like Allen Hurns better than the running backs in this game?
Yes.
There's upside.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's no upside with the running backs.
One of them will score touchdown.
And on a non-fantasy note, I wonder if Buck Allen will be activated. Because the first 2 weeks of the season, Wes has been poop. Forsett's been poop. Heath doesn't like the smell of any poop. So maybe Buck Allen is going to get active.
So here's a stat for you. Julius Thomas and Allen Hurns played 11 games together last year. In standard scoring leagues, they scored double-digit fantasy points in the same game once. And often, one of them would have a good game, one of them would have a terrible game. So it doesn't seem like Robinson, Hearns, and Thomas can all coexist. And Robinson, obviously, were starting. So Hearns, Julius Thomas, I think that's a dilemma for people. Would you rather have Allen Hurns or Mike Wallace, just to frame it? Like, how much do you like Hearns?
I don't like Hearns.
I'd rather have Wallace.
You'd take the upside with Wallace. Especially with the cornerbacks. Well, is Amukamara playing for Jacksonville? I'm going to say no.
I don't think so.
He's their best corner. Ramsey is their next best. There's no guarantee Ramsey is going to follow Wallace around.
I think Wallace and Hurts are close, but I'd start Wallace.
Heath, you're the high man on Julius Thomas. You have him 7th and 8th in PPR, Dave and Jamie. Jamie's got Julius Thomas 14th, Dave right around 12th. Make your case for Julius Thomas, Heath.
I mean, I feel like you're in that range of tight ends where you're going to start Julius Thomas or Kobe Fleener. I'll start Thomas. I think I may have Thomas one spot ahead of Pitta, and I need to switch that. I'd rather have Pitta than Thomas. But other than that, I mean, there's not – tight ends were good last week and that all the guys that you don't normally start that we said to start had good games. But those aren't guys that you expect to just have good games every week.
Yeah.
This is also a pretty decent, this is a pretty decent matchup. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot. Thomas will get his points.
The Ravens are great against tight ends, and with Eric Weddle there, they're going to be even better. They shut down Thomas last year.
Yeah, sorry. It's just, so it's kind of funny what we consider a good game for tight ends. You know, like they did have good games, but.
Yeah, you score a touchdown, you had a good game.
Yes, exactly. All right, Arizona at Buffalo. The Cardinals made three East Coast trips last year, and defensively they were not quite as good. They allowed huge games to Martavis Bryant, not Antonio Brown, but Martavis Bryant. Roethlisberger didn't play in that game. Jordan Matthews had a huge, huge game, and then Cardinals gave up 49 points at Carolina in the playoffs. Let's look at the Buffalo offense under coordinator Anthony Lynn, who has never called plays or prepared a game plan before, but is getting help from the rest of his offensive staff. Who do you trust for Buffalo offensively this week?
Never called games or prepared a game plan.
Okay, yeah. Guys.
Here's the Arizona Cardinals.
Here's what we're going to do. I imagine them burning through their three timeouts in the first quarter. Because they can't get the plays in on time or because they don't know what they're doing. The players are saying it's a much simpler offense.
Well, it would have to be. The guy's never done it before. He's got like five plays.
Okay. This play is LeSean run. That's the code for it now. Instead of saying, you know, trips right turn X32, whatever.
Right.
Now they're just going to be, okay, LeSean, everybody block this way and LeSean's going to go that way.
Let's get to LeSean McCoy here.
You're going to start him. There's no,
are you?
Yes.
Who are you going to start over him?
I think you could be excited about Charles Sims. I'm not saying I would. I'm just saying Sims is a good player. I think McKinnon's got potential. Kristen Michael if Thomas Rawls is out. I mean, these are situations. Like, I would probably start Michael if Rawls is out over LeSean McCoy. The other guy's probably not. But I think you have questions because you look at what Arizona's done. Their last seven games of 2015. Todd Gurley, 4 points. Peterson, 11 points on, 2 yards per carry. Ryan Matthews, 3 fantasy points. Lacy, 14 fantasy points with a receiving touchdown. Kristen Michael, 10. Lacy, 8. Jonathan Stewart, 8. I'm painting the picture here. Great run defense. So, I don't know. McCoy's, he was matchup proof last year. Tell me what you think.
I think you start him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You take your lumps or he surprised you.
I think he gave you what he gave you week one.
Okay.
Ugly,
sure.
Ugly rushing, finds the end zone.
They need him.
Yeah.
Their best receiver is running at 75%.
And if you follow the tea leaves that offensive players complained to the ownership, that's LeSean McCoy. Because it's not Sammy Watkins yet. It's certainly not Tyrod Taylor.
Well, Sammy Watkins was complaining last year, though, about not getting the ball, right?
He was, but not to the owners.
That was
But if we got history of a guy complaining to the media about not getting the ball.
He may have been the guy. I just listened to Prisco on a radio interview, and he said same exact thing, LeSean McCoy. And then who gets promoted to the offense coordinator job? The running backs coach.
Right.
So it speaks to let's feed McCoy as much as we possibly can. And so whether they're throwing him the ball, he's getting a lot of carries. Obviously Arizona knows that. It's not going to be an easy situation for him, but a lot of work with a talented player should lead to at least a good enough stat line that you should consider him no less than a high end number 2 running back, given the week that we're dealing with too.
And Damie has Sammy Watkins as a number 4 wide receiver. Heath has Watkins as a low end number 3. So the guys want to avoid him this week. How about the Arizona wide receivers? Start or sit? I guess we're starting Fitzgerald. What about Floyd?
I like the matchup for Floyd.
Yep. Low on number 2, high on number 3 guy.
Mm-hmm. And I know he's been disappointing and people are getting tired of him. I think if you look at him as a number 3 receiver specifically and you start him as a flex, even a PPR flex, I think you'll be happy. It could end up being a David Johnson game, but Floyd should still get you. He could certainly get you more than the 6 points he's gotten you the last 2 weeks.
A sneaky thing to watch, I think, is they get out to a big lead early and Chris Johnson gets
carries,
15 carries, because Bruce Arians is not particularly thrilled with David Johnson. He almost discounts. Yeah, he made a couple of big plays, but he did the wrong thing.
He's still kind of treating him like a rookie, but he's not giving him the rookie treatment on the field.
Right.
Which is fine. This is great. Talk bad about him. Make him sound like a young buck, but give him those touches.
Flacco or Tyrod Taylor?
Flacco.
Oh, Flacco.
Start the Cardinals DST. Denver at Cincinnati. We have covered this game quite a bit. We talked about the running backs. We like McCoy better than Gio Bernard, right?
Yep. Yeah.
No doubt. Michael Floyd or Gio Bernard? PPR.
Gio.
Probably Gio.
I'll take Floyd.
And anything we didn't cover here, CJ? Oh, bold prediction! Bold prediction from Adam Azer. A really win-win bold prediction, because if it doesn't happen, nobody's going to care. This is the best type of bold prediction.
That's how bold this bold prediction is.
CJ Anderson is going to catch a touchdown against the Bengals. Without Vontaze Burfict, going back to last year and the first two games of this year, they are so bad against running backs in the passing game. Already this year, Matt Forte led the team in did he lead the team in receiving? Or D'Angelo Williams? I don't know. One of them did, and D'Angelo scored a touchdown, so...
I think it would have been more fun, though. Like, if you're going to do a bold prediction, why not say Booker scores his first touchdown on a pass reception?
No, because I like C.J. Anderson's my guy. You know that. All right, so we're starting C.J. Anderson. He's top eight, top five for Damie, and top eight for Heath. And I think that's pretty much it. Emmanuel Sanders, you want to talk about him? Anything with him?
Nah.
Okay. Denver DST top five. Bengals DST is 10th for Jamie, 6th for Dave, 19th for Heath. What's up with that?
What have they done to impress you so far?
Yeah. Maybe they need Burfict. I don't know.
I think they definitely need Burfict. Now, I should probably move him up just a little bit because Simeon's first game on the road, but you're not going to start him.
Okay. Sufficiently covers this non-bonanza. Now, no team goes into the season without a game plan.
Oh, crap. We have to start all the players in that game. You call it a non-bonanza.
No, I don't think it works that way. But no team goes into the season without a game plan. If they did, game day highlights would be nothing more than a football follies compilation, and that would be hilarious. But Buffalo Wild Wings knows that fans prefer the taste of glory on game day, the kind of glory that comes with having 21 signature sauces and seasonings to choose from, or a great lineup of cold and refreshing beers on tap, or a collection of wall-to-wall flat screens so big it would make your head spin. We cover all of those details so they add up to the kind of game day experience fans can appreciate, and we do it because we appreciate the fans. So win or lose, if you're a fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere there is. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, we do it for you because you're a football fan. Oakland at Tennessee. All right, let's hope we get a high-scoring game here. We like Carr. I know we like Mariota, Heath, but we like Carr better?
Yes.
Okay. Carr is a start this week. Would you start Derek Carr over Aaron Rodgers?
No chance.
No, you can't do it.
Okay. Yeah, just throw it out there. Just having fun.
I mean, look, I suppose you can. You have the power at your fingertips to, like, move them around.
You can make those decisions.
But I think Carr is good. Rodgers could be great against the Lions.
All right. Latavius Murray, I know he hasn't gotten a lot of work, but got to start him, right?
Yeah, he's been scoring, been catching passes. I don't think this Titans defense is as good as the numbers say they are.
They are not even close. They should have given up another two touchdowns to the Lions.
At least
based on penalties.
There were three called back last week.
And,
2-1 wonder.
And they faced Sean Hill in week one.
Okay.
So they could get blasted by
start.
That means we're starting Amari Cooper. What about Michael Crabtree, guys?
I don't like the numbers that he gave you last week as far as catches and yardage goes.
He's touchdown dependent.
I still like him as a number three.
Oh, for sure.
Or his two-point conversion, depending.
He's in 2-point conversion. he's in the same conversation with Thomas and Macklin for me.
Okay. All right. So would you start Edelman over Crabtree?
No.
Yes.
No chance.
Wait. No, I've got him ahead of Edelman. I apologize.
All right, Crabtree.
I will retract that statement.
Dave, you're the high guy on Clive Walford again. You have him 10th. Dave, Jamie and Heath have him around 15th, 16th or so. Make the case for Walford.
He might catch a touchdown against a defense that isn't as good as their stats say.
Okay.
And the Raiders should end up throwing a lot, mainly because their defense, I don't think, will be able to handle. Well, if they can't handle the Titans, then they're not going to be able to handle just about anybody that they play.
Like, that's the thing. Almost every tight end from 10 through 20, if you ask us to make the case, it's
they might score.
They might catch a touchdown.
But I can make a case for Walford. It's this. That Tennessee gave up 4 catches for 65 yards to Kyle Rudolph, which is a lot for Rudolph, and then Eric Ebron had a touchdown call back, and it was a bad pass interference call. So
all true.
It's possible.
Walford's had an end zone target in each of the first
two almost
games.
Got a touchdown 2 games in a row.
Well, he did catch a touchdown last
but
week.
But he almost.
That's not almost.
He almost right. You're right.
Wow, he actually did it. It's
he
amazing.
Leads tight ends in almost touchdowns, no doubt. Derrick Henry or Latavius Murray, guys. Or excuse me, DeMarco Murray or Latavius Murray?
DeMarco. I've got DeMarco 1 spot higher in PPR and Latavius 1 spot higher in standard.
Is there any sleeper appeal in Derrick Henry?
Again, he's a tight end. Need him to score a touchdown.
That's a good way of putting it.
Starter sit Tajay Sharp.
I'm getting the feeling that this is the week.
Yes,
because of those corners and safeties and.
Every time I think about Tajae Sharpe, I move him up just a little bit higher.
I know.
So
me too.
I'm going to move him up
He's a very good PPR flex. I think he's a good enough standard league flex. And, I think he can score 4 touchdowns this week.
Yeah. 4 touchdowns.
I was going to say 5. I think he could score 1. And I think he can get you 80 plus yards.
Sharpe or Crabtree?
I've got Crabtree ahead of him right now. I might make the change.
It depends on
I might have Crabtree unnecessarily high in my rankings.
Well, really depend on how many times I think of Sharpe between now and Sunday, but as of right now, I have Crabtree ahead of him.
Sharpe or Travis Benjamin?
Benjamin against Indy.
You're going to start Delaney Walker's top 5, top 2 for Damey, top 5 for Heath. Atlanta at New Orleans. All right, Drew Brees, amazing at primetime, in primetime at home. This is a Monday night game. Which quarterback do you like better?
Brees is my number 1.
Yeah.
Brees is my number 2.
Brees is 1.
He's the answer. But Matt Ryan or Derek Carr this week?
Ryan's top 5.
Ryan is use him and then dump him because the schedule gets very hard for Atlanta.
Ryan or Rodgers? Great.
Oh.
Ryan for me.
I think it's Rodgers for me.
Rodgers.
All right, it's close though. Matt Ryan we love this week, so get him in your lineup. How do you approach the Atlanta running backs, guys?
Start them both. Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay, over Charles Sims?
Freeman, yes.
Freeman over Sims. Coleman, no.
I think you might as well go with Coleman, too. If he's getting the same amount of work and he scored one more touchdown, what are you expecting from Sims at home against the Rams? Yeah. I think it could be tough for him. I'll start both Falcons running backs ahead of him, knowing that Coleman's going to get 45 to 50% of the snaps. And catches and yardage, there's been a nice sample size through the first 2 weeks of the season. I don't think Freeman's done anything to take him off the field yet, so you might as well ride him out against this terrible, terrible.
Yeah, but if he had scored last week, though, his numbers weren't that great.
They wouldn't be as good, but they were still. I don't know if I can paint it that way. But well, he did score.
Yeah, I buy into Sims' upside over Coleman.
Would you start Devontae Freeman over Mark Ingram?
No.
Okay.
No, but it's really close.
But you like Ingram this week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hopefully he gets more carries inside the 10. Hopefully the Saints get inside the 10.
Yeah, he does need those touchdowns. Mohamed Sanu, how does he compare to, say, a Michael Crabtree or a Tajae Sharpe? Mohamed Sanu.
This is another guy I keep moving up every time I look at my receiver.
Yeah,
rankings.
Everybody just disregarded him because of one bad game. And receivers that are your number 3 receiver are going to have bad games throughout the year. I think you start him against the Saints.
He's worth using as a number 3 receiver. I think the one thing to take into account, though, to play devil's advocate, to what you said, Heath, he only had really one big play in week 1.
He had 2. He had the deep pass, and then he caught that touchdown.
Yeah, and the deep pass was on broken coverage. So, I mean, it's that's what I'm saying. For this week, he's worth buying into. But, you know, to say people disregard him because one bad game, it's not like he was doing stuff all over the field in week 1.
Well, wide receiver 3s don't.
What about a Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu stack in daily?
Oh, yeah. Except on FanDuel this week, if you're playing in the big tournaments, Monday night doesn't count.
Ooh.
Okay.
Been a change there.
Guys, Jacob Tammy is a top 12 tight end. Dave is the highest on him in PPR. Jamie's slightly higher than Dave in standard. No, I switched that around. Dave is the highest on Tammy in PPR. All right, whatever. Just look it up. Tammy is a guy that you could start this week. He's getting a lot of targets and 8 targets in both games for Jacob Tammy. So that's good. As far as, the Saints go, like, how do you sit Willie Snead at this point?
Oh, you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the number 2 receiver.
He's number 1 for me.
In your top 12, eh?
That's right.
Wow.
Ahead of Cooks? So they're 2 Saints receivers in the top 12.
Yep.
Now, Kobe Fleener or Jacob Tammy, guys?
Tammy.
Yeah.
Come on, Kobe Fleener. Get it together and sit DSTs.
That's a good matchup, though.
San Diego at Indianapolis. All right, so let me just be honest with everybody out there. I suck now at getting through these shows in less than 6 hours. So we have 3 games left, and I would say we have about 7 minutes if we could try to do it. So San Diego at Indianapolis. Which quarterback do you like better in this game?
Luck.
Yes.
I believe I have Luck ranked higher.
Yeah, Luck's back in the top five for me.
Okay, but Rivers is...
I apologize. I do not. I have Rivers ranked higher.
Wow.
Rivers
is Gates top
10.
If Gates doesn't play, it's got to change.
Yeah, we are starting Rivers this week, though. I mean, would you rather have Derek Carr or Philip Rivers?
Rivers.
Okay. Rivers. Heath, Jamie?
That's close.
Rivers, for sure.
Rivers. All right, so we like Rivers this week. The San Diego wide receivers. Travis Benjamin is what, like a high number two, high-end number three?
Number two for me.
I've got him as a high-end three.
Okay.
Me too.
That'll probably go up, though, assuming if Gates is out.
How about Tyrell Williams? Anybody like Tyrell this week?
Like him. Yep. I would put him in that same box as Tajay Sharpe and Mohamed Sanu.
Yep.
I've got him just like right behind that box in a different box. It's not quite as shiny. The wrapping paper is a little bit torn, but he's there.
How about Damie has T.Y. Hilton, you know, low 20s, and Heath, you have Hilton ninth.
I mean, I was wrong not to downgrade him more last week, but he's back against a good matchup. He's back at home. I know Jason Verrett's there. I don't know that Verrett's just going to follow him around the field, though, because I don't know they see that big a difference.
I think
him
they play sides. I don't think Verrett follows anybody.
So in a game where we all think Andrew Luck's a top five or six quarterback.
Or 10.
Yeah. I think he has another good game. He was a number 12, 13 receiver for me at the beginning of the year. This is a good matchup.
I don't think it's a good matchup. I don't think you're benching him, though.
It's a better matchup than last week.
It's definitely matchup than this week. It's not a good matchup, though.
Anything would be a better matchup than last week.
Well, so far, Jeremy Maclin and Allen Robinson both have had five catches for 63 or 64 yards against San Diego, but Maclin did catch a touchdown. Hilton or Diggs this week?
Diggs.
Not close.
All right. Philip Dorsett or Tyrell Williams?
Dorsett.
Philip Dorsett or Travis Benjamin?
Benjamin.
And Dwayne Allen is startable. Dave talked about that earlier. Sit the DSTs in this game. Cleveland at Miami. So Dave is down on Isaiah Crowell this week, just not really buying it. How about Heath and Jamie? How do you guys feel about Crowell? You guys were more pro Crowell than Dave was earlier this year.
And yeah, Heath, I'm starting. Probably going to start him.
It's case specific. I think he's a borderline top 24 guy. The offensive line woes make me nervous. The loss of Corey Coleman now makes me nervous. And the nice thing about it is he's got a very consistent track record, and I've talked about this a lot, of every time he's gotten at least 12 carries. When he's gotten the work, ugly as it may have been, under 4 yards a carry, he's been able to produce for you. Now, it's not a foolproof situation. There are times where he's not delivered, but they're going to lean on him a lot this week, so... I think he'll end up with somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 fantasy points, which will probably put him as a back end number 2 running back.
Tannehill or Rivers?
Rivers.
How about, is this the week we finally feel good about Jarvis Landry?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing Cleveland.
Okay. Do you like Landry better than T.Y. Hilton? Probably not for Heath, but how about for Dave and Jamie?
I like Landry better.
So he's probably in that like 15 range?
Yes.
Okay.
I like him better than Jordy this week.
Devontae Parker. How do you feel about Devontae Parker? Compare him to Philip Dorsett this week.
Rather have Parker.
I'd rather have Dorsett because I feel like we need to... First of all, Parker's been limited in practice. Is he going to play? I hope he does. Is he 100%? Who knows?
I've got him back-to-back, but I'd rather
have moved him down. I like Parker. I want to have him on my fantasy team. I just don't have a lot of confidence in him.
If you were, forget it. I was going to say, is Jordan Cameron a sleeper? Is Jordan Cameron a sleeper?
I think you should have forgotten it.
Revenge game. Okay, Jordan Cameron's not a sleeper. Miami DST is number 5 for Jamie, number 7 for Dave, and number 16 for Heath. Kind of talked about that earlier. The Jets are at the Chiefs. You are going to want to sit the quarterbacks in this game. But like, would you go with Fitzpatrick? Or let's say you really need someone. You're going to go with Tannehill over Fitzpatrick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Mariota or Fitzpatrick?
Mariota. Okay. And Flacco.
And
Bortles. And Dak Prescott, too.
Is Matt Forte a must start?
Yes.
Do you like running backs who get a lot of work and could work the goal line?
And catch passes?
I do. You have to have glorious running backs
and
to not use Matt Forte.
And aren't hurt.
Right.
And get most of their touches in their team's offense.
Like, what an amazing combination for Matt Forte.
Yeah, I like
These things may not last long, but for now.
Tell me about the Jets wide receivers.
If they're healthy, you'll start the ones not named Quincy.
Agreed.
Decker has got 19 games in a row with 80 yards or a touchdown.
I'm just going to start just
betting. Just 19?
I'm just going to start betting on that to end.
Right.
Okay, and finally...
it's going on too long.
And he's beaten up the Chiefs throughout his career, including one game with the Jets.
Anything else in this game? We're good, right? Jeremy Maclin, Dave talked about not really liking him. Maclin or Philip Dorsett or Travis Benjamin? Rank those three.
Benjamin, Dorsett, Maclin.
Benjamin, Maclin, Dorsett.
Maclin, Dorsett, yep.
Kristen Michael or Maclin?
Michael.
Probably Michael.
Michael. Unless Rawls is the starter.
Fantasy football at CBSI.com. Steve from Victoria, Texas. Is John Brown worth owning in a 12-team league?
Borderline.
If you need the roster spot, you could let him go. But that's another player that if I saw on waivers, I would want to try and pluck him off of waivers.
I've gotten this question, rightly so, a lot on Twitter. I'm giving him one more week. This is it.
How about A.J. Green? Would you sit him for Tyrell Williams or Marvin Jones?
No.
I don't think
it's close with Jones.
I think really I would.
But it's the Packers.
I would sit him for Jones, not for Tyrell Williams.
Would you trade, this is from Dan, would you trade Willie Snead for Randall Cobb?
No, I'd rather have Snead.
I'd rather have Snead.
But I think right now I'd rather have Snead.
And in a half-point PPR league, should I start LeGarrette Blount over Ezekiel Elliott or Mark Ingram?
No.
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 The Ingram one is the interesting one.
No, it was against the Falcons. No.
I've got him higher by one spot. Whew. I'll say yes.
All righty. That's it for the show. Thank you to Dave, Jamie, and Heath. We're back tomorrow with the NFC home games and a recap of a little Thursday night football. Very excited. Thank you, guys.
And now it's time for Adam Azer to end the podcast.
Okay, well, let's end the podcast then. Let me tell you something. You know, tonight we got such an interesting matchup. I mean, you got this underdog team that's playing at home. That's, you know, the other team's got a better quarterback. The other team's got better wide receivers. The other team's got a lot of things going for them. But you can't count out this scrappy home team, guys. I really think that Georgia Tech could beat Clemson tonight, and I can't wait to see it. Bet you didn't think I was going there with that one, huh? It was weak. I have nothing. Yesterday was so good that today I just didn't really know what to go with. So that's it. I'm going to end the show. Goodbye. This is Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath signing off.
Paste it.